Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to this scripture, sermon, and prayer for Sunday, June 14. I invite us to begin with a couple sentences of scripture from the psalm for the day, namely Psalm 116. I love the Lord because God has heard my voice and my supplication. Because God has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on the Lord as long as I live. What shall I return to the Lord for all God's bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the life and death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, maker and preserver of all things, visible and invisible, we adore thee in thine infinite majesty and bless thee for thy wondrous love revealed in Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Savior, to whom with thee, O Father, and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. For our scripture this morning, we'll be using the Old Testament lesson for this particular Sunday of the church year. It comes from the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, beginning with verse 1. We find ourselves in the midst of those stories concerning the patriarch Abraham and his wife Sarah. Listen carefully for the word of God. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. Abraham said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the trees. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." And so they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour. Knead it and make cakes." Meanwhile, Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. And then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. And the visitors said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" And Abraham said, "She is in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." Excuse me. And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh, for she was afraid." But the visitor said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I read a report this past week that the average life expectancy for persons born in the United States in 2018 was 78.9 years, up slightly from a previous dip to 78.8 years, though that increase now still leaves us in 38th place in the world in regard to average lifespan. Even so, to anticipate a lifespan of almost 80 years is not so bad, and I suspect most of us would be pleased to reach, if not exceed, that number if we've not done so already. After all, long life is a good thing. Longevity has its place, as Martin Luther King Jr. remarked. Yet as we are aware, and as those who have exceeded that average lifespan have experienced firsthand, longevity also has its challenges for individuals and for society. As we age, individual health and quality of life require more effort to maintain. Healthcare for the aging, both availability and affordability, is ongoing, if not headline-grabbing, issue for our society. Living arrangements, even the most basic, can become difficult to arrange and maintain. Not to be overlooked are those less tangible but not less important issues of meaning and purpose in life. All these factors present challenges for those who live long, particularly in a society like ours in which life is separated into rather well-defined stages, accompanied by often idealistic expectations. This morning we have before us a portion of the story of Abraham and Sarah, that quintessential aging couple, who find themselves in their extreme senior years entering parenthood, of all things, an experience normally reserved for those in their early adulthood, sometimes even youth. The surprising prospect of such a late-in-life experience evoked laughter from Sarah in today's lesson, not unlike the laughter evoked from Abraham sometime earlier in the Genesis narrative, when the Lord had declared the promise to him in Sarah's absence. Perhaps like many of our relationships, Abraham had failed to share this tidbit of information with Sarah at the time, so the whole thing was a bit of a shock to her when, in this morning's reading, she listened outside the tent door as an otherwise unknown stranger declared that by next year she would have a child of her own. Now, Sarah was well past her childbearing years, so the storyteller reminds us. Elsewhere, we are informed that Abraham was 100 years old when his son was born. It all sounds rather incredible to us, and it is intended to sound incredible to us, as well as to the story's first hearers. The storyteller wants it to be clear that this was no fluke of nature or evidence of extraordinary human strength and vitality, but rather a case of God's mighty work, in part for Abraham and Sarah as two individual people, but even more for the generations that followed them. We can perhaps imagine the descendants of Abraham and Sarah gathered around the campfire listening to this story, with the storyteller adding the editorial flourish, "We were this close to not being here at all. But of course, is anything too wonderful or too difficult for the Lord?" Most of us in our older years would be quite satisfied with much less spectacular interventions of the divine. Perhaps a little improvement of our vision, mobility, or memory would be great. A little more attention from the children and grandchildren would be appreciated. Someone to mow the lawn would be an absolute answer to our prayers. In fact, for some seniors, life is already pretty complicated without a divine bombshell such as exploded into Abraham and Sarah's life. One of the interesting observations in my experience of ministry is how surprised people often are that later life continues to be as complicated as it turns out to be. Somehow they expected that when they retired, life would be rather simple, that they would wake up each day with an open field of opportunities that could be filled in whatever way they wish. Instead, for many older adults, the issues, often problems, of their children and grandchildren dominate their thoughts, their energies, and sometimes their resources. The maintenance of their own health becomes a virtual vocation. The circumstances of their living demand constant attention. Life sometimes seems less like being, quote, on Golden Pond, to borrow the old classic movie analogy, and more like, quote, being up Golden Creek. Now, please excuse any note of sarcasm or hint that long life might not be worth waiting or working for. To the contrary, from the perspective of our ancient storyteller, such longevity was a wonder. Remember, in the days when these stories were told and retold, average lifespans might have ranged somewhere in the 30s. Even today, the average lifespan in a nation like the Central African Republic hovers in the low 50s. Disease, injury, natural calamity claimed so many lives in the ancient world that one had to be extraordinarily strong, lucky, even we might say blessed, to live anywhere near the age of most of us, much less the purported ages of Abraham and Sarah. No wonder such persons were revered, both in fact and in imagination. Whatever the historical facts of this one nomadic couple, a clan living on the edge of the Sinai Desert, Father Abraham and Mother Sarah were remembered to be of great age. How could such great ones have been anything less but well advanced in years? It simply added to the lore of their story. For the storyteller, the critical matter was that the Lord continued to be engaged in their lives, making promises and acting upon those promises, and doing so not just for Abraham and Sarah, but for all those who followed them as well, which might provide the nugget of a lesson for us today. Namely, that wherever we are in our lives, at whatever stage, as we like to say it, the Lord is and continues to be engaged with us. As the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, quote, in all things, God is at work for good for those who love him. Such an affirmation can be challenging for persons at any time, but it can become acutely so for the aging, as their own resources, including their money, their health, their energy, and of course their time, seem to diminish. We might wonder what is possible, what is left. Perhaps little remains from the human perspective, but more than we might imagine from the perspective of the divine. This is not to offer fairy tale solutions to very real problems, but may well invite us to watch for the extraordinary, even the miraculous opportunity, not because it makes a good story, but because it opens a door in what otherwise might seem to be a closed situation. Moreover, the story of Father Abraham and Mother Sarah was not simply a story about themselves, but a story about all those who came after them, literally and figuratively. The capacity to view our lives not as separated beginnings and endings in themselves, but as facets of a much larger, ever-unfolding story is a key to both finding meaning in our own lives and not taking our lives too seriously. Simply put, It wasn't all about Abraham and Sarah and their individual desire for a child, nor are our stories all about us and our individual hopes and dreams. What happens or doesn't happen to us has significance, to be sure. Significance enough to warrant the Lord's engagement with us. Nonetheless, we are all part of something so much bigger, so much greater, that transcends any individual life, any particular family narrative, or people's history. It is the story of the unfolding of the universe itself, and we are part of it in ways that we might never fully understand. Such is the stuff of Abraham and Sarah's laughter, and maybe ours. This is the laughter that erupts when the limits of our finite lives are burst open by an infinite God. In the end, such is the stuff of Abraham and Sarah's faith, their willingness to trust the outrageousness of the God they were still just coming to know, even after a lifetime. That faith, more than their special child Isaac, became their legacy and an invitation so to live, whatever our age, whatever our stage of life might be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite us to a few moments of silence. As we prepare to offer our prayers for the morning, I invite you to take a moment individually, if you're listening alone, or with others if you're together this morning, to reflect upon and or share your celebrations, thanksgivings, confessions, as might be appropriate, your supplications, your intercessions, as we approach our time of prayer. Take a moment, perhaps pause the recording while you do that, and then we'll speak our prayers together. Let us pray. We praise you, God, our Creator, for your handiwork in shaping and sustaining your wondrous creation. Especially, we thank you for the miracle of life and the wonder of living. We thank you for the particular blessings coming to us in this day. We thank you for the treasure stored in every human life. We thank you for the voices, sometimes the harsh voices, of those who have spoken up and spoken out around our country and around our world in recent days. We dare to pray for others, O God, our Savior, claiming your love in Jesus Christ for the whole world, committing ourselves to care for those around us in Jesus' name. Especially we pray for those who work to turn injustice into an opportunity for renewed justice throughout our land. We pray for those who suffer from or are fearful of the coronavirus. We pray for those whose lives and livelihoods have been threatened in recent days. We pray for the church as it bears witness to your love, mercy, and peace. All these prayers we offer in the Spirit of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, my friends, go in peace, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be and remain with us always. Amen.